what I want to do is I want this message to help your faith. And the Bible says when the Son of Man comes back, will he find faith on this earth? And I believe that we're going to be a people. You're going to be a top people, and you are already. But I believe we're going to be a people that when he does come back, say, here I am. I've been faithful. I've been walking this life, and I am in faith. Because the Bible says whatsoever not of faith is sin. And so we want to make sure that we're operating in faith. Brother Hagin said it. I'm going to play a song, have him play a song here a little bit. Brother Hagin had this statement years ago. He said, a step out of love is a step into sin. And so we need to learn how to walk in love. And sometimes we have a pretty good idea, but I think there's even a better idea. And so after this song is played, I'll get into the message. And this is one, if you grew up in Sunday school, you sang this one quite a bit. And bring back memories. I remember I grew up in a Presbyterian church, and I remember we'd have a little bit of a song service, they called it, before we'd go to be dismissed back to our classes. And I, real honestly, when I was going through Sunday school, one year I got a pin for being in church every Sunday that year, 52 Sundays in a row. And with that comes the honor of, a lot of times the Sunday school teachers were always petrified when they found out I was going to be in their class, because I was not, I was a little bit unruly. But they told me the truth all the time. Some of the Bible stories, I remember them, but I remember this song. And one of the things that I would like us to do tonight and maybe get a hold of, just to remind ourselves, is how much God loves us. You know, if you didn't think about anything else during the day, is that my Father in heaven, who happens to live by his Spirit on the inside of me, loves me. Probably, and getting a grip on this and wrapping your mind around this, he loves you so much that he would pay any price to have you. And he proved that by what he gave to buy us back. The redemption price, of course, was his Son. And he couldn't have given a greater gift. That was the gift above all gifts. He couldn't have been a better gift. There was no other way for us to come into the family of God. And Jesus said no man would come unto the Father except through him. God did that for a purpose. And so we have the privilege of being loved by God. And, you know, I'm going to kind of share with you, because we kind of have this idea that if we love our brothers and sisters, which we should, if we love sinners, which we should, our faith will work better. But if we really, really develop an intimate relationship with God. I said this years ago, and sometimes I'll look back and I'll remember things I said, and some of them are really good, and some of them I wish I'd have a crop failure on. But this one was really good, because it was back when we were talking about faith. Because I really believe that the Bible means when it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so we need to learn faith, what faith is. But then there's a simple scripture in the Bible that says that faith works by love. And so we need to understand how that love works. And so I made this statement, and I believe it's even more true, and I realize it probably even in my heart more now than I did when I said it, and it's probably been over 20 years ago. But I said, I am convinced that God gave us faith so that we could have an intimate relationship with him. And we all think it's about speaking words and speaking the right word. Well, it is. But, you know, when the communication of your faith is spawned out of the love that you have from the Father, then you grow in great confidence with God. It changes how you ask him questions. It changes why you ask the whys. And I believe that in my mind, God doesn't care if he asks questions. But I believe there is a great hesitancy on his part if we ask questions that tell that we do not trust him or we do not value him, that we really kind of question his faithfulness to us. Our questions should never do that. Questions should never question the faithfulness of God. There are things, and we could probably all raise our hand, but there are probably things that have happened in your life that you do not understand. And there's been times I've asked God, and God says, it's none of your business. And then there's been other times I've asked God, he said, later I'll let you know why that worked that way. But I'm just saying this. We need to get to the place that when we're walking on this side of heaven, and I hope you don't hear me saying that faith is not important, because it is, but the most important thing is to learn how to love, so you can love in a way that faith can move and literally become that faith. The Bible calls faith is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Amen. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, this is the verse that we're starting out on. It says, for in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. The Amplified says that this, faith is activated and energized and expressed working through love. There's a connection between faith and love. You can't be a hateful person and expect your faith to work. I hear this question a lot as a pastor, because it's in some people, there are certain people that are qualified to ask this question, but after a while, when you get the answer, you're no longer qualified to ask that question. And I hear this, Pastor, why do good people die early? Pastor, why did God let that happen? Pastor, why would God allow that to happen to me? Now, there are right questions, but you got to understand those questions a lot of times are being asked because they don't trust God. They don't have an intimate relationship with God. Sometimes having that relationship with God, it kind of changes the whole spectrum of your question. And that's kind of what I want to deal with a little bit tonight. I want you to be able to ask the question why, but I don't want you to ask that question in a way that doubts the faithfulness of God, or the goodness of God, or the mercy of God, or the steadfastness of God. Or, as it says in Malachi 3, God says, I am the Lord God and I change not. So once we find out the character of God, once we find out what he's like, then we can go to the bank on that. And I'm telling you, it will never ever change. In other words, God is the one who never changes. Some people say, well, if God could change, he wouldn't be God. God cannot improve on himself. How many of you here could probably improve on yourself? That's why we hang out with God. We hang out with God because we want to become more like him. At least we should. There are to be some godly characteristics that are flowing out of our lives. The communication of our faith should be that which honors God, not dishonors him. So we are really put in a position that God wants us to just begin to speak the truth in love. He wants us to sometime, and I'm not going to get into all the facets of, because it doesn't mean that sometimes because you're walking in faith, sometimes you'll get angry. There is such a thing as righteous anger. Amen. But if we're all truthful, sometimes we give place to unrighteous anger. In other words, it's a selfish anger and it's a self-motivated anger. But we need to learn that the love of God and the faith of God have a direct connection. I choose to love what I do because God put me here. But I also should choose to love the people that God sends here. And I've jokingly said over the years, when really, really, really wonderful people leave, I will jokingly, and I know God knows I'm just teasing, but I say, Lord, I'm telling you, I've got three families, I'll swap for that one family you're sending somewhere else. And he never does that. Because he sends us to be connected. And we get ourselves connected by walking in love. And so the more we walk in love as a corporate body, the more effectual our faith will be as a corporate body. In other words, when we begin to pray for people, when we begin to seek God on other people's behalf, when we're doing it as one, then I'm telling you, the results will be greater. I believe God wants to do great things in our midst on a regular basis, not just once in a year or 2 years or 5 years or 10 years. I believe he wants to do things all the time. If the love of God is not there in our lives, then it's really going to be hard to walk in faith. And faith is what pleases God. And why does it please God? Because you're doing it in love. And Jesus, the Bible says in Hebrews that Jesus is the express image of God. And it's a very simple thing. You could go into the Gospels and begin to read a little bit about the acts of Jesus that he performed while he's on this earth. You could see what he said. You could see what he did. And if you want to know what the Father was like, look and see what Jesus did and said while he's on this earth. Jesus was the express image of God. So what does God think? Well, what did Jesus think when he came up against sickness and disease? What does God think? Well, look at Jesus when he came up. What does God think about demoniacs possessing people? Look at Jesus when he came up against a man or a woman that was possessed of a devil. In other words, and look at Jesus. What happens when man was broke? What did Jesus do? He sent his apostles fishing. God wants you to be provided for. I have gotten over the fact that I should just expect God to bless me so that everybody that I know agrees with. I think we ought to be so blessed that we literally are like what the Bible says we have to give to every good work and charitable donation. There are some wonderful works going on, not in this, just in this country, but around the world. And I send money to every now and then is James Robinson's, sending money over to a lot of times just buy kids shoes so that they'll not get to infection, or drill a well for water so that they can drink pure water rather than water that poisons those little kids. And there are all sorts, but you know, that takes money. And if God can get it through you, and as one wise minister said years ago that I started out under, he said this, if God can get it through you, he'll get it to you. And so God's just waiting for our hearts to be ready for him just to flow through in an incredible way. So if the love of God's not there, brothers and sisters, then it's going to be hard for you to... I'm not saying your faith won't work because God loves you. He will kind of help you get the kinks out of it, if you will. But God wants you to be a vessel of love. And that doesn't mean that you just kowtow to everything that the enemy throws your way. Doesn't mean that at all, because love resists the enemy. And sometimes the people that we come up against, it's not them that's doing it. It's that the enemy has a voice through them. And so we take authority over the enemy. I still think that when Peter got to heaven, he probably asked Jesus, Jesus, I want to ask about that one moment when you looked me in the eye and said, get behind me, Satan. And well, Jesus wasn't talking to Peter. He was talking to the spirit that was influencing Peter. And there are wicked, evil spirits out there, and we need the faith of God to bless God, resist them. The Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And the word flee means as in stark terror. He will literally leave you. 1 John 4, verse 7 through 10. These are scriptures that most of you will be familiar with. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. What an incredible manifestation of the Father's heart. I was thinking, if by chance I'm going to be here for the month of December, and I'm good if I am, I was just thinking about a series theme, and I heard a statement the other day that I think I could probably do a series on, and it would be kind of an interesting series for Christmas, because Christmas, I love Christmas, and now that I have, well, Debbie has 19, we have 20, we have 39 grandchildren, and each, the Varneys and the Oakley each have one more coming, so, and that could be before the end of the year. So I really have to believe God for blessing in my life, or take a vacation somewhere and not tell anybody we are until after Christmas is over. But that doesn't include the adult children. But I thank God that God, I thought this years ago, and I ministered on this, but when I was grumbling and complaining about all the gifts that we were buying, not just for our adult children, but as they began to produce and we have all those grandchildren, I the carnal part of me. And I said, God, this is costing me a lot. And I remember the Lord saying, son, Christmas cost me everything. Good point. God always has a good point. But I think a great message or a great series for Christmas would be Born to Die. I mean, Christmas is an incredible time of year, but when we look at it, Jesus was born onto into this earth to die. That's amazing to me. Came in as, aren't you glad he did? Come and took upon himself our flesh and dwelt among us. So God's manifestation of love was the fact that he gave us his only begotten son. Jesus was a willing participant. He did what the Father wanted. He said, and we got to this earth on this side of heaven. He said, I only do those things that I see and hear my Father do. Things that I see, the things that I hear, that's what I do. And that's what I respond to. And so that's good. John 10 says, 1 John 10 again, in this love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And let's stop there for a little bit. It's one thing for us to say, well, God, I love you. But it's really another thing. I don't know if this has just jumped out at me in recent days, but just sitting around thinking, God loves me. I'm glad he loves you, but I'm really glad he loves me. I'm happy for you that God loves you, but I am really thrilled to know that he loves me. And when you love somebody the way he loves us, I think we could expect God to answer our prayer. You know what a deep sense of love will do in your life with another person? It opens up the arena of trust. When you love and love somebody deeply and learn to love them the way God wants you to, there's trust that comes and develops between you. And trust is something that's worked on, built on, earned, if you will. But that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, in verse 11 it says, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And I'm not trying to diss that in any way because I think it's important that we love. But listen, the more we understand how much God loves us, the more we can love other people. I loved it when, you know, I make reference to it, and I hear some people say, well, did you know this about The Chosen and yada, yada, yada. But there's a lot of The Chosen series that I think are pretty awesome. But I remember when the woman at the well was being addressed by Jesus, and supernaturally he saw her life and saw that she wasn't married. The man she was living with now was not her husband. And she was amazed that he knew all those things. And then he just said, now listen, I have some water for you to drink that will help you never to be thirsty again. And she was thinking natural. But when she got it, that he was talking about spiritual things, that I have the spirit of life that you can drink of, that you will never be thirsty spiritually again. That's what the love of God says. In other words, all of a sudden, she got a revelation that God loved her. And she said, I'm going to run to town and tell everybody I know. And Jesus says, I was kind of hoping you'd do that. We shouldn't. That's the great, to me, that's one of the greatest witnessing tools there is. Because when you tell somebody, my life is messed up, well, welcome to the party. God loves you enough that he sent his son so that you would not be held accountable to those sins. And when you think about it, there's only one sin that we're going to be judged for when we stand before our God, and that's whether or not we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only sin. All the other sins that we do or that people commit out here are just a result of not accepting Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And I've found out that there are Christians that sometimes miss the mark, but not in this church, other churches. But I found out that they sometimes miss the mark. And the Bible says if we miss the mark, then we have an advocate, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we make the determination to walk along an unrighteous path. That's the path taking us away from the love of God. That's why I shared with you a while ago, a mentor of mine said, step out of love is a step into sin. So we don't want to do that. How many of you, over the years, I've gotten better, and some of you may question this because you know me pretty well, but I've gotten better about biting my tongue. And there's been times I've really wanted to say something, and I hear the Lord on the inside of me say, you're not really going to say that, are you? So really, I'm thinking about it. Evidently, he knows the thought and the intent of your heart. And that's what the grace of God is. He can stop you before you get yourself in a mess. That's what love does. You know, just like the love of God that comes into our life, when people love you, they want to help you become free of whatever it is that's maybe ruining your life, destroying your life, causing you to live a life that you know that you don't want to live. So, going to 1 John verse 17, verse chapter 4, verse 17, says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. If we can find out what Jesus is like, and the Bible says right now he is seated in heavenly places. He's seated at the right hand of God. And here it says, we've been made to sit in heavenly places in him. We have. We are positioned in Christ in heavenly places. That's where we are. That's where we are on this earth. And so there is a connection between love and the boldness that comes in being loved. I don't have any problem. When my children were growing up, I didn't have any problem telling anybody that I knew that I loved my children. I was thinking the other day, and I know a lot of fathers, one of the things your kids like to do is they like to, you get on your back and they come and jump in your arms, you know, and when they're little, you start them little because you'd start them, take them as a little baby and put them up above you. And I remember I was doing that one time with Melanie and she puked right in my mouth. It was only the love of God that kept me from throwing her across the room. I think who would do that to their daddy? But you couldn't do that because you love, and I wouldn't even thought, that thought didn't even come. But I'm just saying, there are things that we do for our children that we wouldn't do for anybody else. There are things that God does for you. He cleans your messes up. And he's glad to do it. Because the more you allow him to clean your mess up, the closer you're going to be to him. And you can walk around with, you know, my father loves me. You could ask, and I'm not just saying this, but you could ask all five of my adult children, do you love your dad? They'd say, absolutely. You do. And that's because I can tell you one of the reasons why, and there's probably several, but one of the most important reasons why is I've loved them unconditionally. When they messed up, I didn't hammer them over the head with it. I would say something like this, I'm pretty disappointed in you, but that doesn't change how I feel about you. I still love you. And that will never change. It's the same way, and I'm not comparing myself with God, but the Bible says you need to kind of find some characteristics of God and try to have that acclimate to that character of God. But when we love our children, we love them unconditionally. Amen? When we love church people, we love them how? Unconditionally. In other words, we're not waiting for them to get better before we love them. We love them on the way to getting better. This is really pretty good preaching. Amen. So if we're not walking in fear, then the Bible says we're walking in fear. Because if we're not walking in the love of God and realizing God's love for us, then we're allowing fear to have its way in our life. And then we begin to question God's provision. We begin to question, is it God's will to heal me? Is it God's will to really provide for me? Well, sure it is. Because he's your father. And he loves you. When you love him enough, you're not going to be fearful about the provision today or tomorrow. You know that your God is going to take care of you. Fear affects everything, making you think you have no way out. No resource, no hope, no money, Relationships that you think can never be fixed can be fixed. The love of God transcends every problem. And everything through the love of God is washed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. And we're cleansed. That's why it's important that we come together on a regular basis. You say, Pastor, how long are you going to keep telling us it's important to be in church? Until I'm in a coffin, and then there's going to be a sign on my coffin that says, go to church. Because I know how important that is. And sometimes we allow ourselves to get caught up into the flow of the world, and the flow of the world is not flowing through those doors. It's the Spirit of God. And you know, to me, the Wednesday night crowd is not the nod to God kind of crowd. They're a little bit beyond nodding to God. Hey, God, I'll do that once. Give me a moment. You got to make a determination to do that stuff. But I don't know about you, but I don't mind not living in fear. So when you ask questions, we learn to walk in love. If we don't learn to walk in love, we're going to be held captive by a fear that has torment. And that's no way to live. Amen. I started out early with the twins. And I remember this one particular moment, and Melanie and Melissa were kind of right at 10, 11 month age, and we were in Oklahoma City visiting my sister, and Melanie had a fever convulsion. And most doctors will tell you that it's not a big deal, you know. And of course, I'm thinking when your little 10, 11 month old quits breathing and turns bluish purple in their lips, I'm thinking this is not no big deal. And I remember my sister Vivian saying, she just cried out, she said, God help us. And she no more got that out of her mouth, and Melanie started crying, started breathing. And then when I say she had those convulsions, she literally stopped breathing for several minutes. But I remember this, I'm thinking, I just witnessed something that not a whole lot of people get to witness. And I got to the place where, and it's not that it's not a battle, but it is a battle sometimes. It's a battle of your emotions. Your emotions are real, but God's more real. I was listening to Melinda sharing from last week, and she was talking about how that the doctor came in and just spewed a bad report all over Dan, and they were believing God, a loving God, for healing to be manifest in his body. And I was thinking, I had a kind of a similar thing with Sandy, but which was really funny. Sandy had a lot of trouble with her, and most of you that know her, she had trouble keeping her false teeth because of just the situation, the fluids and stuff that were going. But so the only thing that really felt good to her in her mouth was they would give her Coke floats. And she loved that cool on her gums and stuff. And so the cardiologist that was kind of over the team that was overseeing her, because at that time they were dealing with an enlarged heart that wasn't getting rid of all the fluids and stuff. And so the doctor came in and said, they come in, they start talking about hospice, they start talking about moving her to Hayes and you know, getting care provided for her at home and make her final days comfortable. And we knew, apart from a miracle, that's probably what was going to happen. But I remember this cardiologist, this is perfect. This cardiologist said, Sandy, and she was talking real loud. I mean, she didn't need to talk. She was only like from here to that chair to Sandy. And she said, is there anything we can do to make you comfortable enough to go home? And Sandy looked there and says, yeah, I'd like to have a Coke float. That is awesome. Doctor had no answer for that. But I did think she got one, but I would like a Coke float. But to me, I think this, I could ask a lot of questions about why my wife went early. I could ask a lot of questions. But I tell you what I did do. I said, God, I may not understand this fully, but I want you to know. And I trust you with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my strength. And I will never doubt your goodness. You have been so good to me. My wife lived when she was first diagnosed with cancer. She lived probably 20, almost 30 years after that. So without the word of God, she may have died a long, long, long time ago. All I'm saying is this. When you get into a situation that you rule on it, you would like to understand, but if the question that you're about to ask questions the faithfulness of God, I would encourage you not to ask it. There's a way to ask it. I'm not saying not ask questions. But I just say make sure that you're not questioning the faithfulness of God or the love of God. Because when you do, you're questioning His character. And you've heard me say teasingly at times, and when I'm going through stuff, I'd say, God, if you were me and I was you, I'd do that for you right now. Because one of the questions most Christians ask is, why don't you do this quicker? Even like politically, I ask, why don't you do things quicker? And the Lord always tells me, it's none of your business, Trigger, you know. And He didn't call me Trigger, but I'm just saying, we have to understand that there are questions we can ask, but if you're going to ask those questions, make sure it's not questioning His faithfulness, because God is faithful. And He will never forsake you, even unto the end of the earth. Why things happen to good people? There's usually a reason. The Bible says, the curse causes shall not come. Sometimes we think, we forget there's an enemy. We forget that the enemy is out and he's looking to kill, steal, and destroy. And yet we always try, the enemy gets no blame. We Christians, good, well-meaning Christians, question God. Why not question the enemy? I think what you should say is, God, help me when this, should this ever happen again, help me to just step bless God on His neck and keep it where it belongs, speaking of the enemies. And resisting the devil. The Bible said submitting yourself to God. There's a way to live by faith, and you can do it with bless God, boldness of God. And you can do it with His faith, which emboldens you to walk upright and know that you will not be defeated. I don't believe God for one moment put us here to lose. There's some that do. And I don't believe that God put us here for one moment to be broke. I believe He put us here to have more than we could see any way to use. I like this scripture. I like every scripture. I tell you, this is my favorite scripture. What's your favorite? Well, the one I'm reading right now. And then there'll be the next one I read after this and these. Listen to 2 Timothy 1:12. Apostle Paul. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know. Everybody say, for I know. Now, Paul's getting ready to say something pretty important here. For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep what I have committed Him until that day. He knows in whom He believes. I believe in the Father. Faith is not just a mental adherence to some discipline. Faith is a relationship. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. That's pretty powerful to me. And I think it's powerful to you guys as well. Paul's saying, I know Him and I know I can trust Him. And if you read just in 1 Corinthians, you can read all the stuff that the Apostle Paul went through. And this is the same guy that says, I know whom I believe. I'm persuaded that He's able to keep what I've committed Him. Paul said, I committed my life to Him. And then all the stuff that he went through, all the beatings, being left for dead several times, being shipwrecked often. The Bible says that the Apostle Paul just declared, said, out of every one of those things, God delivered me. That's 100% batting. Amen. Out of every one. The devil's lied to the church world. If we don't ask the questions out loud, we have them nagging at us in the back of our head. The enemy would love for you to question the faithfulness of God. God is greater than anything that could come against him. When people ask, will God heal me? It's not hard for me to tell them, absolutely. Even though you've prayed for people that have died, yep, my faith is not based upon what happens to people. And this is sometimes where I part ways with some people, but my faith is based upon what this Bible says. And you know, when you prayed and put your faith out there, believing God for people to be healed, that and they go on to heaven. Now, they didn't really lose a lot. I mean, stepping over to heaven, I guarantee you when they got to heaven, they're not going, "Ooh, I wish I was back there." Because I've heard testimony of people that went into heaven, and the Lord says, "It's not your time yet. You need to go back." And they'll go, "Lord, this is good. I like it here." And they'd just been over there for a moment, a breath, if you will. But the life that we have promised us is God's life. And I believe this. If God loves us the way he says he does, and I know he does, then he will protect us. And you know, the Bible teaches us that he gives us all an angel when we're born. We should activate them a lot more than we do. I think I've told most of you this story, but I love this story, and I'm just going to tell it because I like it. But when I was playing baseball as a 10-year-old, Little League baseball in Lakin, Kansas, we were playing on a field back then, had no lights, and so if the game went late, you played in the dark. And we got into extra innings, and we ended up playing dark. I was pitching, and two of my friends, the man that started this church, Jack Johnson and his brother were on the other team. And because we knew each other well, we grew up together and we really kind of liked each other. But when we played sports and stuff, we knew what trash talking was all about way back then. And I was mouthy back then too. So now I'm just mouthy to the devil. I like to think that way. But anyhow, I was mouthing off to Jack and GL, and they were saying stuff to me. My mom was up in the stands and their dad was up in the stands. And it was dark, and I remember there was a Wesleyan pastor that was umpiring. And I honestly remember praying, "God help me." The count was 3-2, and we had runners on base. And if there was a walk, they would walk in and tie the game, and we'd go in next. Anyhow, so I was praying, "God help me throw a strike," because I was throwing anywhere but close to the plate. And I like to blame it on the darkness, but really it was just, I was wild. I scared people when I pitched up. But anyhow, I remember winding up and throwing that baseball, and it went literally, I don't remember who the batter was, but the ball really went about neck high. And I go, "Ah," and the umpire goes, "Strike three." I go, "Wow." It must have been dark. And so I started mouthing off to my friends, you know, because it's always fun to beat your friends. And then they come at me, and I was kind of resisting the mouth. And one of them came by and pinched me real hard. And about that time, their dad came out of the stands, and he was coming at me. And I'm going, "Oh, no." And right before he got, he's about from here to where Sarah is, and right before he got that far, right in that distance, my mom, little 5'6" Thelma, stepped right in front of me, looking at Jerry, their dad, and said, "That's enough." My little redheaded mom did that. And I'm thinking, I think we can take him. My mom was a feisty gal. And Jerry backed off. I don't know if Jerry remembers that, but years later, I still remember that. But what I remembered, my mom, you don't want to mess with her. I remember I would do some things growing up, even as a teenager. She could put me on the floor in a heartbeat and do it with just doing something. You don't hit your mom. But she would pinch my little finger in such a way I'd just hit my knees and beg for her to let go of me. But I'm just saying, her love for me put her in a place to protect me. God's love for us is far beyond what we think. And for us to think that he won't protect us, guard us, keep us, help us to become well when we're not so well, spiritually, emotionally, physically, every area of our life, financially, relationally. To think that God wouldn't do those things for us really questions his character. Because when we find out that God will do that, because the Bible says he is the Lord God, he changes not. And in Hebrews 13:8, it says that Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and, you say it, forever. Now, either that's true or it's not. We choose to believe it is. Amen? So the devil's lied to the church, and it's really pretty much just painted a picture that God's not really interested in the church. He just established the church, and then he just threw it out there for the devil to do whatever he wants, and then when the judgment day comes in, we'll just get him out of there. That's not how it works. He put us here to win. He put us here to be ambassadors for Christ. I remember what, and then I'll close with this, and most of you know that doesn't mean a whole lot, but I'll try to close. But I remember when I first got out of Raymond, I found out a little bit about the authority that you have as a believer, that you have authority over the enemy. He does not have carte blanche to come into your life and to wreak havoc in your life. But you need to resist him. And so I was talking to a Methodist pastor that I'd gotten to be friends with over the last couple summers. They'd come up and spend literally a month there in a condominium. And so they would come by the business where I was working. And we would talk. The year I got out of Rhema, I'd learned a lot more. I learned about who we were in Christ. At least got some more truth on that and about our authority over the enemy. And I started telling him about the authority that we have over the enemy, and that literally, that's the purpose that Jesus came in the world, so that he might destroy the works of the devil. And then he told us to go and do likewise. To destroy the works of the devil. Don't just say, well, you're going to have to put up with that. No. God never for one moment wants you to go through sickness or disease to glorify him. He doesn't want you to go through a tragedy to glorify him. He can turn things to our good. I don't have a problem with that. But I was telling this Methodist pastor, I said, did you know we have authority over the devil? He looked at me kind of weird. I said, that's right. And I just read him some scriptures about the authority that we have in Christ, and that Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil, and that we're supposed to be just like him. We're supposed to follow his example. We're supposed to take the word of God and take authority. And he said, you know, I don't think I'd say that too loud. The devil might hear you. And I'm thinking, he's just a dude, I'd like to hear it. Because for how many years have we really been at his beck and call? People say, well, then God's just using the devil as a battering ram. And what does that challenge the character of God? I can't believe for a moment that people would even think that. Here's the point. God loves us. And of course we love him. But the only reason we can love him is because he first loved us. But I really do think if we'd spend a lot more time thinking about the love God has for us, I believe the more effectual our faith would be. We're just not putting things out there to, you know, some people say, well, you belong to that blab it and grab it group. And I said, yeah, I do. But it's a whole lot more than blab it and grab it. That's how you got born again. For with the heart man believes in the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto you. Your mouth is part of you getting born again. Saying what you believe in your heart. Well, that kind of faith doesn't go away. But the more you love God, the more effectual you're going to be walking in faith. So you won't be questioning God. I think questions that challenge the character of God are an insult to him. Because he's the Lord God that changes not. That makes sense? So that says to me that we should do everything we can to stay as close to him as we can. Every day. Kind of like, Pastor, how much should I read my Bible? I would say read it as much as you can. stay close to him. We fill ourselves with all sorts of knowledge, but it's not always godly knowledge. And so my encouragement to you guys, if I could say, I could give you another example out of Mark 4 when the disciples are in the boat and they're in a storm and Jesus is in the back sleeping and they woke him up and said, "Master, don't you care?" Now see, if Jesus was me, he would have did this. Walk into this. See, they're questioning his character. So they wake him up from his sleep and he says, "Peace be still." You go, wow. And then he looks at them and says, "Where's your faith? Where's your faith?" Well, we're kind of hoping you'd just do everything for us. That's not the way it works. That's why we need to have faith. And some people operate in faith better than others. I'll give you that. But just a little bit of faith can change your life forever. Amen. Father, we bless you tonight. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we're not a people that will question your love. Your love for us is perfect. And as we yield ourselves to that love and love you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, our faith becomes more aggressively bold in the kingdom of God. And Lord, I thank you that you put us here for such a time as this, and we'll not be a people that pull back, but we will press in to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and we choose to not fail. We choose to live this life in a way that will bring honor and glory to you. We believe, Father, that your hand is upon us, and that we can literally reach our arms out to you and be hugged by you on a daily basis because we love you. And you love us enough that you will never leave us nor forsake us, even to the end of this earth. So, Lord, I pray for every home. Where there are challenges, God, I thank you that you make a way out and you help us to see clearly how you want us to walk and how you want us to live. And we thank you. We give you honor in Jesus' name. And all agree with that said, amen and amen. You are dismissed. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.